Restoration of the Essence of the Church, Mark chapter 11, verses 15-18. Today's Bible verses come from Mark chapter 11, verses 15-18. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. In Roman period, the king proclaimed to his people. He said, "If you sin, then, doesn't matter what kind of position you hold, what age you are, I will take out two eyes from whoever who sins." But, sadly, his son that he loves dearly, firstly had sinned. The king said in front of his servants, "Grab my son and bring him here." And then he took out an eye from his son. The other eye, he took his own eye out. To act righteously, he took out two eyes, but one eye, he took one of his son's two eyes out, and the other eye, king took his own eye to show his love for his son. These are the love of God and his righteousness. God came to this world to spread love. But whenever there was injustice, he did not compromise himself. Firstly, forgiving and compromising are different. If anyone had repented, he forgave endlessly, but for injustice, he was very firm. He did not want to allow that. He said to the Pharisees who pretended to be holy, he said this to them, "You are the children of the venomous snake. Sometimes you are like inside the tomb." He rebuked them strictly. There are two kinds of expressions when someone is angry. There are anger and rage. Sometimes rage is needed. Rage is getting angry when we see injustice. One day the schoolgirls in their uniforms were smoking cigarettes in front of adults. The adults pretended that they did not see them and they walked away from them. I thought it was not tolerance but unmanliness. The reason that this society is getting disorderly more and more is that, even though the adults saw the wrong acts of young people but they do not pay close attention to them, thinking that they are not their own children. They are uninterested in young people like those and in their acts. Of course, also this is because the society has become a bit wicked. These days there are a lot of school students who choose to commit a suicide because of the violence at school and due to the distress from it. They think that their teachers and parents are unable to solve their issues. They do not tell them what their problems are. They worry by themselves, and this leads them to committing a suicide at the end. It is a tragedy that our society has become like this. In this society, in this period, we need righteous indignation. We get furious when we see the news on the children of the former president receiving the millions of assets and pretending to be innocent. Also, when we see what Japan is doing, we Koreans get furious, as well as the Jews in the US, people in China are also furious. What Japan is doing now is that Japan is trying to justify the ownership of our Ryukyu Island by holding a survey of public opinion. They are saying these ludicrous statements, such as "Let's learn what Nazi has done, who massacred the Jews in an inhuman way to make constitutional amendments." When we see injustice, knowing that we need to act with righteous indignation, is the true justice and love. Same thing applies in raising our kids at home. As we only have one or two kids in a family, children have become an idol. The people in this society have become more individualistic and self-centered. They do not know the difference between the good and evil and right and wrong. A while ago, the only son in four generations killed several people and was sentenced to death. He wanted to see his mom face to face in person in a prison for the very last time before his death. He was tied in a chain and had a special meeting with his mom. His mom hugged him and kept on crying endlessly. The time to leave jail has come for his mother. The son has said this to his mom: "Ma'am, please put your hand on my face." At that moment, The son bit his mother's hand and peeled off all the skins from his mother's hand. The prison guard tried to stop him and pleaded him to leave his mum alone. But this is what the murderer said, crying out, "This hand of yours, ma'am, when I stole a thing from someone else's store, if you had told me off correctly and taught me that this was a wrong thing to do, then I would not have come this far. I probably would not have come to jail to die. Because this son was the only son in four generations, his mum treated him too preciously. Even though he acted in a wrong way, his mum did not tell him off. She paid the price for his acts and said well done to him. This led him not to learn the difference between the good and the evil, and the right and wrong. At last, he became a murderer. When I read this story, I also reflected on my own deeds and repented a lot. In church, these days, it seems we only say good things to each other, but we do not see a lot of true teachings and giving of bitter advices. This is not a good thing. We need an operation, but cannot only be told to take painkillers. We need to get knife and have an operation. At present, Korean churches are getting dry like the plants which are getting withered. Not a long ago, I led a spiritual revival rally in the biggest Christian conference center in Korea. Even a few years ago, there were no empty seats, there were a few thousand people gathered around, eager to listen to the words in front of the hall. People in the front row were fasting, pleading to God fervently, and there were water bottles, as they were praying without food. The place used to be filled with people like these. But these days, even though it is the same place, the place was not filled fully with people. I thought about the condition of the Korean churches at present by looking at this scene. When churches miss having the essence of the true Christian values, the cross and the salvation, and when they alter their core values to be the wellness and prosperity on this land rather than the hope in the heaven, churches change to be secular and worldly. But the early church was not like this. They were telling people about the cross and the salvation of Jesus. Even though they got killed by doing these, they treated this as the best thing in their lives. They were proud of this and felt honored. This is what our faithful ancestors regarded most highly. Because of the name of Jesus, they lost their houses, lost work and beaten, but they were thankful that they had the marks of Jesus. In China, previously I had an educational training with 200 home church leaders. We stayed up all night and kept on training. One person gave out a testimony. That person was caught by the guards and was tortured. He was asked to say what group he belonged to. The guards hit his head with a hammer and he showed his head to us. He did not have any hair in the center of his head. He lost consciousness but woke up again, as the water was poured on him. They kept torturing him again, and asked him where the group meets. He said to the guards, "If you keep harassing me, then I will bite my tongue and will cut it off." The guards said the Jesus believers are very crazy and they stopped torturing him. I was deeply moved when he said that he is proud of the marks that he has on him, and when he goes in front of God, he imagines that God will be very pleased with him. But how about the condition of our faith right now? The criteria of our faith do not look up to God in heaven, but has come down to earthly things. We seek the earthly desires rather than opening our spiritual eyes and desiring God. Rather than seeking the will of God, we want God to agree with what we want. So, when we see things are done as the way we want, we become lazy and become apart from God. Don't we leave the cross behind but wait for the glory only? But we cannot enjoy the glory of salvation without the suffering of the cross. The Christians need to know this. Jesus is love, but at the same time he is clear on righteousness. We need to have these two things as two pillars. In today's Bible passages, Jesus went into Jerusalem and in the sacred place, he saw people selling pigeons and exchanging money. Jesus took the table upside down and ordered these people to get out. He cleaned the sacred place and called this place a house of prayer for many people. We see that Jesus was furious on things that were not right. Righteous indignation is not pretending that we did not see anything, but having holy anger towards right things. In this period we need this righteous indignation. Having this essence of faith in our mind, we need to treat this opportunity to clean our church in our hearts and purify it. More importantly, look at the people who were called to get out from the church building. In verse 15, it says, "On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves." Jesus ordered the people who made the church unclean to get out of the building. These people were using the faith and seeking to acquire their personal benefit. Inside church, people who sell, people who exchange their money, people who come in with things that are not sacrificed for God, people like these were asked to leave. Church is a place of giving sacrifice. People brought the animals to give sacrifice. But when people came from the faraway places, they could not bring animals, so they paid for the pigeons and gave the sacrifice in the old days. Using this fact, people carried on their business. The people like this were not interested in giving sacrifices. But they exchanged money with each other and sold goods, made profits, and these were the only thing that they were interested in. Jesus saw this and took the table upside down and asked them to leave. And he said, "This house of mine is a place to pray. It is a house of prayer," and he clearly said that this church has been built with this purpose. Because they use the holy place in disgrace. They use that place without the true purpose. Secondly, church is a holy place. This is because this is where God exists, and God is holy. Church is where we worship God. In the Old Testament, sacrifice was common, so they gave out sacrificial gifts in person. But in the New Testament, Jesus became a sacrifice at once. We have a holy sacrifice. In this, we see the church as building as well as the church of our hearts at the same time. The Jews treated the church most preciously. Even nowadays, when we travel through Jerusalem, we can see people who put their heads down and giving prayer in tears near the walls of the Jerusalem. These are called as walls of wailing. When these people build their houses, wherever they are, whether it is east, north, south and west, they choose their direction towards where the church is. They lived lives completely centered on church. The lives that are centered on the church is the lives that are centered on God. Wherever they were, they wanted to live their lives with God in their center. This is the Holy Church and the essence of faith. In our passage, in the Holy Church, people had to have holy worship and the worship service that God is pleased with, but they made this holiness disappear. The religious leaders worked closely with the businessmen and made benefits from the bypassers, but moreover, they put a dirty remark on the holiness of the church. Jesus tipped the table upside down and asked them to get out of the church building. This was the anger of Jesus. As well as the church building, at the same time, also, we need to know that our heart is also the church of God. In our hearts, God exists, the Lord exists, and He said this is the church where the Holy Spirit exists. So our mind needs to be holy. Our mind needs to be pure. If we look at the words of Jesus, before giving the words on the material or psychological issues, he emphasized on the words on hearts. That is because our hearts are church. If the church of our hearts collapses, then the grace leaves us and joy leaves us. Peace leaves us and God leaves us too. So we need to have a worship service that is a spiritual. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. What is a spiritual worship? It is a worship service that we have with our hearts in center. That is a service that God is pleased with. That is a service that is focused on God. That is a service that experiences the presence of God. We also need to have a worship service that is spiritually alive. Korean churches need to restore the holiness. I bless the Korean churches, so that the churches would go back to its essence, and restore the spiritual relationship with God. Let's read the verse 17. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers." Let's understand the purpose of church correctly. The Lord explained church in two ways. Firstly, he said church is a house of the Lord. He called it my house. In Matthew 16:16, he said he built a church on a rock. And the power of the hell will not overcome it. Church is where the Lord resides, where God exists, and where the Holy Spirit exists. This is a holy place where our Father resides. A person who gives most amount church offering does not become the owner of the church. A person started the church for the first time also is not the owner. In its very essence, church is the holy house, where God is the owner. In doing ministry, I see a lot of interesting things. Long time ago, we had a spiritual rally and on the first day, I was about to share the sermon. But there was no lectern in front of the church. The church choir was singing the praise and worship song, but there was no piano also. I asked why it was so. But I was later told that whoever bought the sacrificial goods for the church left the church and took the gifts that he gave out to church with him. The sacrificial gifts that had been given to God are not mine. We need to know that as God's. The church is God's body and God's holy house. Also, the Bible said church is where the people pray. He told us about the purpose of the church. My house is where the people pray. So the church does not need to be filled with worldly sounds, but it needs to be the house of prayer, where the people listen to the Lord's voice. So I hope you pray to God deeply and fervently. The fervent prayer is the prayer that expresses the thankfulness, and it is a prayer that asks God first. It is easy to think that whatever I ask needs be acquired. But till now, if I got everything as I prayed, then I would have failed so many times. The real answer is not getting whatever things I wanted, but God's will is being achieved within us. So not asking for the hope that we want, but we need to ask God for whatever He wants in us. Have a look at the last prayer that Jesus prayed. Till the blood became the drop of sweat, He kept on praying. The conclusion of the prayer was that God, not according to my own will, but according to your will, I want everything to go ahead. When he said this prayer, the angels of the heaven came along and strengthened him. David's prayer was like this. When he had a war against Philistines, he did not ask God to win over them. He asked God first. Should I defeat Philistines or not? At that time, God said, "Defeat Philistines and I will give you victory." Not asking for what we want, but I hope we give the prayers to God that asks the will of God deeply and fervently. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, in everything, whatever it is, the essence is very important. Faith is having the true essence and remembering its true meaning. If we have the true understanding of this, then the family, society, our lives will not collapse at all. The anger that Jesus showed at church in the old days, tipping the tables upside down and asking people to get out of the church, was because people acted incorrectly, not according to the true essence of our faith. I hope that we all restore the true essence. Restoring our worship, prayer and hope, we all go back to the essence of faith so that we can hear what God is telling us and what He is whispering into our ears. I bless you all in the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.